We're going to actually have a prayer workshop today. I just said this to you, but bear with me because we're on record now. And so I'm going to go through some of these principles of prayer, and then we're going to pray together in this group. But my desire in this particular prayer is to equip you so that you have the tools that you can do this on your own. If we're going to talk about some stuff regarding spiritual warfare and things of that nature. If you perceive that you need deeper levels of prayer and you're not in counseling high, you're not in counseling already, you're not in, you're not working one-on-one, come on in, guys. You're just working through the workshop process, because if you're in individual counseling, at least here at our facility, we do a lot of prayer. We will do what we can to pray with you individually. In our session individually, we will schedule that with you. And I call that, I don't want to freak anyone out because people get weird. The terminology we use is deliverance prayer. If we need to add more, if we need to break down the tables or a couple of them, I was kind of thinking we weren't going to have a full house today, but you know, that can sometimes change, so come on in. And what I mean by that is that we go into things in the spiritual realm, we deal more specifically with that. Okay, some people would be like, sign me up. Other people would be like, whoa, I don't want that. So that's why I'm not going to pray that type of prayer in the group today. I'm going to start giving you some of the principles of it, but we're going to work on that. But I would like, you'll kind of know what I mean when we get through this session. I'm going to make it very clear what I'm talking about. So first half teaching, second half prayer. Okay, after prayer, you are free to get up and walk out the door. Okay, you are free to stay and have any of us here pray with you if you want. If you just want to get, and I don't mean like an intense prayer, I just mean we'll just pray over you, just like at the end of a service when they just come and pray over you. We'd be glad to do that. Anyone, any of us can do it. Dan, Justin, any of us can do that. So we have a small group, so hey, we almost have like one-on-one ratio here, so you do it if you can. And a webinar, we will not be breaking up into a discussion group, but you just, the same thing, if as you're going through this, if you decide that you really would benefit from a prayer session with a counselor here, just email me directly and we will arrange that over the course of the workshop. So sometime between now and the time we're complete, we would be able to work on that. We will be moving into our new facility when we come back in January. Webinar, I believe I do want to upgrade you to the much better, much, 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 much better system we're going to be on. So stay connected with the links. If they are going to be changing, you'll know. And then we might do like a little fellowship session in our new office at some point where we're just going to stay after and do something. We're going to kind of have a little open house in there, okay? You don't have to stay, but you can. We just talked about that. We kind of threw that idea out there. So I will keep you posted. It's a big deal for us. It's a big deal for us. So we kind of want to like give it some kind of special something. Anyway, so that with that being said, let's go ahead and let's open up in prayer to learn about prayer, shall we? All right, Father, we just come before you, and we just invite you right now into this room, into this atmosphere. Father, we just pray that your hand and heart would just cover every single aspect of what's going to be talked about today, what's going to be prayed through today. Every person represented in this room right now, every need represented in this room, whether it be spoken or unspoken, that you would just be embraced in this moment, and that you would just have authority to work and to move and to stir and to change us as we need to be changed. Father, we just acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the Creator, the Healer, the one that died, the one that rose again, stands above every single thing in our lives. And he rises above every single demonic force that would try to come and sabotage and take from us what's rightfully ours. And because we are in him, and because we are united in marriage with him, we are above, not below, the efforts by the enemy to destroy. And Father, I just pray that our hearts could absorb that truth, that we would walk as though we are not under it, we are above it. And Father, I just pray if there's any strategy that even the demonic realm would try to sabotage anything in our time together, Father, we just pray that same Jesus over our minds, over our hearts, over this room, over our web connection, over our technology, over every single person watching this live, every person that will watch it in the future. And we just claim that you are in charge and you can just be enthroned. And that's where it's all at, Father, when you are given permission to be in charge. Align us today, however we need to be aligned, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, I love prayer. I love prayer so much. I feel that God is actually going to be calling me to a season. I don't know when that season will come, but really, that is really what I want to focus more on is praying through some of these things with people. You know, there's a time for us to talk about it. There's a time for us to learn things. There's a time for us to even engage in a counseling process where we process the past. I do think that all those things are relevant and important. However, I do feel adamantly that the thing that matters the most is learning how to press in to the Father, learning to press into Jesus in the moment and actually have the promises and the truths that he's established come in tangible form where we can actually receive them and we can actually bring them into a reality. Okay. I really believe that our greatest need, every single's greatest need, and wouldn't you know it, my technology is failing on me, so I'm blind with it. It's okay. I have notes here. I really believe that our greatest need, every single one, me including, is to actually encounter God. And I know that there's different theologies attached to people. This is the beautiful thing about this setting and this workshop setting, and it thrills me, is that we don't come here theologically divided, denominationally divided. I don't care what denomination. I really honestly do not care what church you go to. If God wants to move it, or if it's harmful, or I don't care about that, but he'll be capable of doing that. It really doesn't matter, because when we come into these types of things, we are coming with the unity, and we're coming with the understanding that the God that we serve is truly capable and able to resolve the issues in our life. And we don't have to get carried away in all those rabbit trails. We don't have to do that. And the thing about it is when people, and sometimes in a workshop, it happens kind of sporadically, like one person will and then the other person, and you might hear that. Some people that have, and then you're sitting back and going, you know, I haven't experienced that yet. Why haven't I experienced that yet? And I sometimes get emails and things that people are like, I hear what you're saying, but that's just not what's happening in my life. And so I really believe that sometimes just being aware and learning these tools that we're going to talk about today can sometimes be what pushes us through. Now, I want you to understand that if your circumstances, if your situations are established in such a way where they are just fundamentally with God's purposes, that sometimes we want him to rescue something that can't be rescued because it's so outside of alignment with God's purposes. Does that make sense? And one of the things that takes courage is to let him do realignment as necessary. And, you know, in Christianity, sometimes we can, you know, you're sinning and repent, and we get all spooked out by that. But God's, you know, I mentioned this before, repentance is just, I was seeing it this way, but God showed me this way. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry that I didn't see that, and I'm willing to walk it out the way that you said. That's all. That's it. And that is a gift. That is the gift of all gifts, is the eyes to see and the heart to discern God's will. So I better stick to my notes, otherwise we're never going to get through this, because I do want to break this down into some more, like I said, some more tangible methods. And, you know, it always baffles me how people use prayer in such a shallow way. And like, you know, you've exhausted all your resources. Well, all we can do is pray now. You know, kind of like it's like one step to the grave. Oh, all we have left to do is pray. Prayer is actually what's supposed to push and set things into alignment. just grab a couple chairs. Yeah. It was what's supposed to set and push things into alignment. That's what prayer is intended. We could set a couple up here. It is meant to be the inertia that activates the faithfulness of God. You guys get that? It actually activates him. And so to think that prayer kind of comes along on the caboose, is that what it's called? The thing at the end? That it's just kind of like there, you know, here's our, you know, and then we stick prayer at the end is completely contrary. It's complete. Can you grab a couple more chairs? I'm sorry, you guys. It's our last day in this room. We won't have this problem anymore. I calculated wrong, as usual. Okay, sorry. Sorry, webinar. You don't know what's going on. I'm just looking. I said I had an empty room, and now we have a full room, so I'm just kind of chuckling. Okay, so why we want to activate God into our situation is because if he's not given freedom to move and to be God, basically, can I just tell you, we're just spinning our wheels and wasting our time. I mean, we can do it, and we can, like, you know, like Joyce Myers always teaches with the Israelites, we can just keep going over the mountain, going over the mountain, going over the mountain. You know, 40 years of wandering versus God, I'm going to let you lead me, and I'm going to put you in the position where you can lead me. And then as you lead me, I'm going to walk the journey as you've authored it to be, and it's going to be good. Because let me tell you, people are like, you know, how do I know if Jesus is saying this or saying this? This is why I want you to encounter God, because the path, his pathways are led in peace. How do you know Jesus is present? It's peace. It's his peace. Do I make decisions with intellect? You know, to a degree, but peace leads my pathways now. It wasn't always that way. I am so adamant about that, the encountering him facet of it, that that I am adding this class. I've never actually taught this class this way before. So let's look at 10 ingredients necessary for effective prayer. These are actually simple. If you're like, oh man, is this going to be some deep thing that I can't get? No, these are very, very simple, very relevant. And I look at my own life. I look at how I engage. I just want you to know this is real, and this is an ongoing lifestyle that I personally have and other people have. Okay. It's not just kind of this pie in the sky. Did you ever feel like you were being taught and it's like, do they really do that stuff? You know what I mean? Like, yes, this is absolutely, this is absolutely happening. Anyway, the first one is the most important, and that's approaching God on the basis of who he is. Sounds simple, right? There's a reason why in the beginning of a church service, you do praise and worship. We call worship as a musical time. A time to sing songs. In some ways in our culture, and I'm not trying to knock it all, because I there's some amazing worship. In fact, my own church, I love the worship. It's amazing. But I think that sometimes we mistake what the purpose of that is. We don't even really know why we're doing it. It's kind of like an entertainment factor. What worship does is it sets an atmosphere that allows God to inhabit. How does it do that? I mean, let's try to get our religious jargon out of the way, and like, how would that actually look like, and how does that happen? Well, the first thing necessary for God to start moving in our lives through prayer is that he has the opportunity to be who he is. Does that make sense? He has the opportunity to be who he is. If we come to God with throwing our circumstances and asking him why he hasn't done this and why he hasn't done that, and I need this, I need that. Now, it's okay to ask for what you need. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But if we fail to first acknowledge who he is on the basis, in other words, we're coming to him on the basis of his character. Right off the bat, we are creating an atmosphere that won't necessarily, not that he doesn't love us, but it won't necessarily allow him to inhabit it. Okay, now what do I mean by that? This is what happens. It's not that God doesn't love us, and it's not that he's not present, but God cannot operate in darkness. God cannot come alongside and nurture something that is killing us. He will not massage the lies that we're harboring towards him, ourselves, and other people. So the first thing that we want to do in saying we approach God on the basis of who he is, the first thing that we want to establish is that his character and his purposes and his sovereignty is going to frame everything. Okay. If we don't leave this, if we don't do this part, and you know what, it's a hard, I'll tell you what, especially early on before you've seen and tasted the faithfulness of God, you can come to him with a fist. I want you to understand something. I am not teaching some like, just this is so sweet and I'm just so perfect and I got it all going on. I was raising my fists at heaven for a season in my life. I was flipping off God. Yes, I was. Okay, I know what it's like to be in disarray and discord with the living reality of Almighty God. First thinking he didn't exist, then thinking he does exist, then thinking why does he do the things he does, being in turmoil, being in relationship stress. I will say it again, I've said it before, but I will keep saying it over and over again. My breakthrough, my spiritual breakthrough of encountering God happened when I made a decision that I was going to start approaching him on the character, on the basis of who he actually is. That's why when I work with people that are under oppression, that they're bringing all their circumstance, I said, can you establish who he is? Can you focus on his character? It's not how you feel. It's not what it looks like. It's not what your circle. Can you focus on his character? Throw him on your wall if you need to. Read books about his attributes and just start speaking them out. God, you are holy. You are good. You are faithful. You are lovely. You are perfect. And just continue to do. And you know what praise and worship does? It does that. It begins to set the atmosphere of who he is. It begins to put him in his rightful position. Does that make sense? It's the most critical part. And if I'm really under some kind of attack, or my heart, and it's, you know, I don't mean to say like I've arrived by any means. It's very natural for me to approach God on the basis of who he is because I know him now. Okay, it was much harder when I didn't know him. So it will get easier and easier as you move along, okay? But even at that, sometimes our circumstances want to outride over his sovereignty. We want to say, you know, you're not, where are you, okay? That kind of thing. And so praise and worship just sets it in alignment. And so I just encourage you, if you're really struggling, just to listen to praise and worship. But as you're preparing to go before the throne, that is the first ingredient. And I spent a lot of time on it because it's the most important ingredient by far. Everything's going to fall under the basis of how we let God be God, okay? That's it. Are we going to let him be who he is? Or are we going to hold him back? Okay, no guilt and shame there. Just the reality too, because it grieves my heart when people are saying, you know, he's not coming through, he's not doing this, and some of that is just he's not being allowed to. Okay, and he can't come and walk alongside something that's fundamentally flawed, and he's not going to succeed something that's based on a lie. Do you guys understand that? He will remove that lie. He will expose that lie and then put his truth on it first. Okay, it's courageous too, guys. It is a courageous journey. The next one is that we approach God on the basis of who we are. You need to do both of these. These are the most critical things that you want to do if you're engaging, especially I'm really framing this as kind of a warfare prayer. In other words, this is a prayer in the battle. This is not just a light, flowery, beautiful prayer. I'm talking about praying when you're in the battle and when you need God to come through on something, okay? And you're like, I just don't know how to, okay? So we're gonna frame it by God's character. The next is we're gonna put ourselves framed in his perspective. Very important. You know why it's so important? Because you have a real enemy who's taunting you every moment of your life on your unworthiness. You know, he's already after my children. I dialogue with them a lot. They will tell me things that they hear. They will tell me, okay? And these are little kids that are already being taunted by messages. How does the enemy work? I'm going to spend a couple things on him, so I'm not going to go into detail. We don't know exactly, but we know he's given permission, and we know that he lives in the realm where he can get into our minds. That's absolutely without a doubt true. Okay, so, you know, I really believe that our biggest job in life is to be the child, the son, the daughter of God. That's our number one job, is to just be his son or daughter. Okay. We sometimes think we need to be prestigious form of Christianity. Hi there. Prestigious form of Christianity, or in this big honorable position to be considered, you know, that we are doing good in Christianity. Your measurement of success is, can you just sit in your daddy's lap? And I know some people are like, that sounds weird, sitting in God's lap. But can you, whatever that would look like to you, can you take a walk with him and just hold his hand? Can you just be his kid? Do you know that the whole concept of parenting is derived from his heart of how he parents us? The very concept of parenting comes from him. So that we could never have parenting issues that would supersede something that he would understand. When we come on the basis of who we are, and now I don't think that most of us know this, and I just want to just, oh man, I want to drive it in. If I could just drive it in personally, but it's something that I'm going to throw like a ball I'm going to throw out that you have to catch and that you have to, you know, make the next move with. But if you could just understand your authority in the kingdom, if you could just get that, your authority in the kingdom, what does that mean? That means now you are a daughter or a son of the Most High King. You are married to Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Redeemer, the Sovereign One, the All-Powerful One. You are his spouse. And the enemy's coming in all these different ways to sabotage and to steal and to kill and to destroy. And your authority means he has no right and he has no ability to do that unless we give him permission. Now, will God give him permission? You know what? God may allow the enemy to work in various things permissibly for reasons we can't even understand. He did that to Job, right? He actually gave the enemy permission in Job's life. We know that there was a much greater purpose behind that Job couldn't see. Poor Job. But God still was sovereignly in charge of the enemy, because the enemy cannot outdo God. And when we're walking with the Lord, whatever happens, however those blows feel like, if you are standing under the authority of Jesus Christ, if you are really walking with him, he is going to be the one that can overcome on your behalf. You can't overcome, but he can. Okay, if you can just, you know what? Do you know what the Bible says? This is absurd. And we don't see it because we've heard it over and over again. It says that we are seated in the heavenlies right now with Christ Jesus. What in the heck? I mean, really, what does that mean? It means we are like in union with him. We are in the spiritual realm. We are up here, you guys. I mean, we don't want to get haughty about that, like we're above everyone else. It's not like that. It's at a positional level. We have more authority than the demonic realm does, okay? And you need to know that when you start to engage in warfare, because he would like to tell you something else, okay? The third one, ask to enter into his actual presence. Okay. Ask to enter into his actual presence. I believe in one of the things when I pray, even in groups now, is I always ask people when we're doing that in a prayer it's kind of like a meditating prayer where you're not just saying words, but you're engaging with the concept that, you know, just not with the concept, but with the reality that Jesus is real and you can be in relationship with him. And so his presence, whatever that's going to look like, is that you begin to establish this place where you go in your prayer to actually sit with him and to be with him, okay? And that means he's not up here and you're down here. You are together. And this is really important. Now, whether or not you feel his presence, you know, everybody maybe is at different levels of being able to experience that presence. If you're not experiencing his presence, it's because just like the Old Testament temple, there's something happening there that's prohibiting him from being able to do his Shekinah glory. And I don't mean to make that sound like you're bad or anything like that, but there's a hindrance, there's a block. I believe just like the Old Testament, I'm teaching this concept right now in our house at Grace Built on Thursdays. I believe with all my heart, okay, that God wants to be activated, Shekinah glory, holiest of holies, in us, just like he was in the Old Testament. And, you know, there's different theological disputes on that. But I, you know, all I can tell you is I experience the presence of God Almighty all the time, sometimes more glorious than others. You can experience him washing the dishes. You don't need a big giant, you know, super spiritual event in this super spiritual moment, accessing the presence of God, because that temple has been established in us and that veil has been lifted. Okay, there's no longer a separation between us and Jesus. There's no longer a religious process that's required. Jesus is called the high priest. He's washing and cleaning us 24/7. So as long as we are open and giving him access, why wouldn't we be able to experience his presence? So I would shoot for the stars on this one, guys. If you're not experiencing it, ask for it and ask for it and ask for it and ask for it. And don't give up until it comes, okay? Nobody told me that you could experience God's presence. I didn't even know to look for that. When it happened, I was like, then I'm trying to explain it to people, and they all thought I was nuts. And I'm like, well, didn't that happen to you? They're like, I don't know what you're talking about, okay? Now, maybe it was just more dramatic for me because I was really broken at the time. I don't know, but, you know, it was dramatic for me, okay? To go from a place of pure opposition and oppression where I was at, my circumstances were very bad, to a place of experiencing just this glorious reality of grace and love and mercy and kindness. There is no human explanation for switching from deep depression to overwhelming, wondrous, amazing peace in a moment. Okay? And I didn't take no drugs, okay? I got an injection, all right, but it was a Holy Spirit injection. And I'm not saying, you know, that always happens, and I'm not saying that everything should be an experience. Everything shouldn't be an experience. Sometimes we need processes. Sometimes the healing takes a long time. Sometimes he's not just going to zap us. But can you? Heck yeah, you can. Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. All right. Stand in grace. And this is the next one. So we come into his actual presence. We start having this conversation. We start establishing this. Right away, you're going to have the taunter. You're going to have the accuser coming and telling you, look at your dirty hands. Look at how screwed up you are. Look at how many mistakes you've made. Look at all these people in your life. You really think that you can talk to God? Right. You really think he's going to want to engage with you. This is real stuff, okay? Okay. You have to learn something I'm trying to teach my kids right now. My one that's really struggling with the concept of sin and why does she keep doing the same sin over and over again? She's bad, she's bad, she's bad, she's bad. And so keep trying to reestablish her with the concept of grace. It's even hard for a little child to understand. It's hard for us to understand. Grace means that you don't have to have anything at all together in your life right now. I'm not talking about licensed grace where you can just keep living however you want. God doesn't care. That's not true at all. Grace means that literally your righteousness has been accounted for on the merit of the blood of Jesus. And all you have to do is enter into his presence covered, and that's it. Nothing else has to be fixed first. Nothing else has to be put back in place. And every taunt and everything that would come and say this, 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 and this is a lie. And you just come and grace covers you. And I may have said this to you before, but grace is the glue that holds all the broken pieces together until God can permanently start etching those broken pieces into the patterns of your original design. Do you understand that? Grace is so powerful. It can just hang. In fact, it's activated in weakness and in brokenness. That's where it thrives. That's where it does its duty. It does its job. Grace isn't grace until there's brokenness and sin to have to swallow up. Okay? So if you're going through this pattern, do you see this? You put on your cloak of righteousness and you stand confident at the throne of grace, ready to ask for what you need in a moment. Okay? Never, never, never do you have to say you're unworthy. Ever, not even once. Does that you can choose to call yourself unworthy, and guess what? You've just done. You've fundamentally changed the characteristics and the attributes of how God works. And now he's prohibited. Do you see that? When you decline grace, you basically refute the character of God. I'm going way ahead. That's a principle we're going to be talking about a later time. Okay. Grace is hindered. It can be hindered or blocked when we have pride and lessen the impact of sin or rebellion. Now, that sometimes happens in our treatment program. I'm talking about people that are in real rebellious behavior, and they're just like, so what? Okay. Grace cannot be activated when we have a so what mentality. And that's where grace is no longer grace. Grace is no longer grace when we start just saying it doesn't matter. Grace is grace when we say it does matter. I do want to change this. I can't change it. Help me. There's a big difference between the two. Do you see that? Okay. If you're dealing with somebody who's unbroken, who's rebellious, who's engaging in sin, and they seem to not care about it, you know, grace still wants to maneuver in that person's life, but it doesn't have any way to maneuver in that person's life until they're ready to acknowledge that and to come to God broken and to say, yes, I need grace to deal with this. Does that make sense? Very, very important differentiation. Grace is hindered when we act as though we are giving something good to God rather than letting him absorb the wrong in us. Okay, wow, this is theological sounding. Grace is hindered when we refuse to forgive those who have sinned against us. Okay, we're going to cover all those materials in later chapters, but I just want you to understand the concept. So if we already think we're good, we're going to talk about this in chapter 8, then grace can't be grace. And we know, you know, in this environment, I'm really thankful that the people that hang out in this environment and go through these workshops are people that are pretty much okay saying, yeah, I don't got it all together. But you step into the regular traditional church community and you're going to get a lot of people that are saying, oh, you know, this is what being together looks like. I'm together. I've got, do you understand? And then when you're trying to converse and have conversations about what you're going through and how God's changing you, they're like, they don't get you. They're like, uh-huh. Sounds like you got some sin issues in your life. Okay. And then grace can't really, in a person that kind of has this overlay and this exterior that looks good, grace can't even touch that person. And that's really tragic, isn't it? That's really tragic. So it's a blessing, brokenness and the awareness of our deficiencies, of our problems. I mean, that is a gift. And so if we can just embrace that in the moment, then we have access to everything we need. Okay, number five, we're going to go to the next one. And this is really where I want to spend some time in 5 and 6, is we need to press through spiritual opposition. Okay, How does the spirit realm work? Well, I said it before and I don't know. I would not sit here. I know there's books and books and books, and I've read a lot of them, written about the spiritual realm, trying to define it, trying to put pictures to it, trying to say it works this way, it works that way, it works that way. I've read so many of them that I haven't come up with a definitive one that I can say, absolutely, I would take you to this resource, I would tell you to read this book. Although I've read some that have really been life transforming and that I really am in alignment with, I necessarily wouldn't agree with every single word in them, if that makes sense, okay? It's because the spiritual realm, we just don't know. We just haven't been given the exact nature of what has happened. What we can, or what is happening, what we do know is there is for sure a battle being waged in our life, and it lies directly in context to messaging and beliefs and thoughts, and that's mostly where the enemy attacks. Okay, what he mostly is trying to do is he's trying to put a different definition on God based on a lie, and he's trying to put a different definition on you, which is a lie, and then he's trying to redefine how you see other people that is through a filter of your understanding rather than his understanding of them. Do you see that? So this spiritual opposition comes, and it can come in heavy format. It can come as attacks where your feelings feel so overwhelming and they feel so real that you don't know you don't know how to not feel that in that moment. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I just came under an attack recently like that. It only lasted a couple days, but it was so real in that moment that you want to come under the belief of what it's saying. Okay, now I just want to back up for a minute. I have worked with people that were so, I know afflicted sounds like a bad word, and I don't mean it to be disrespectful, but so filled, so drenched under like literally under a chokehold, literally under a chokehold. And they cannot see or perceive of God's character or none of that. They're just under that chokehold. And in when a person is under a chokehold like that, it's like my job when I'm interacting or in these workshops even, my first job is to say to you, do you understand that you're under a chokehold and that the enemy is screaming at you and that he's been somehow been empowered enough in your life where he's above you and you're underneath him? And you're going to have to want by your own will to come out of that. Do you want to come out of that? That's the first thing, because there's some people just say, I can't, it can't happen. There's no way. It's too strong. It's too powerful. Done deal. You're going to stay in the chokehold. Okay. And I know that sounds, I don't mean to sound blunt or mean. I really don't. I just want you to understand what if it was like someone, you know, with a knife on your throat and you were a bystander watching this person, if you could get that person with the knife off their throat, you would do it, right? And that's kind of what, you know, the enemy does is manipulative. He's all those things, but he's trying to intimidate you. And he's trying to make you believe that he can win and he's got you. And the first thing that we need to do, and some of you know what I'm talking about, and some of you might be beyond that, but I'm telling you, I work with people, they are living in this reality. And I believe that the first thing is, okay, can you see that that's what's happening? Yes, I can see. Do you want to get out of it? Yes, I want to get out of it. Okay, you're going to have to enter into war mode right now. Are you ready? Okay, I'm ready. I want to enter into war mode. What is war mode look like? Now, you've got to understand here, you guys, I'm talking about people that have significant warfare issues. That might not apply to all of you. Some of you might be like, well, I don't need this. You know, that's fine. Take what you need, throw away what you don't need. I'm not trying to put this as a fix for every single person in here. Okay, I just want to give that disclaimer. I've been in severe battles, even in ministry, where I sometimes even need this. So what does warfare look like? Well, I'm going to take you back to one. Your first thing in warfare is you start to call out the character and the name of God in that situation. Whatever tools you can have accessible to do that, do it. Write on walls if you need to write on walls. Do whatever you need. I used to put them all on my mirrors in my bathrooms. Verses, truths, realities about who God is. I mean battle. Speak it. Speak it. Keep speaking it out. Keep speaking it out. Do you know what it does? It never fails. I've never once heard it fail a person. The only thing I've heard fail is a person stops doing it. It shifts the atmosphere. It actually removes the empowerment of the devil. It actually shifts it. He actually can't hang out in an environment where God is given that much entrance. That's one of the reasons why people do so good in our treatment program. I'm not saying everybody does because they have to engage, but because the atmosphere is so heavily engaging in the Holy Spirit that the enemy can come in however he wants to come in and work through people however he wants to work through people. I'm not saying he can't, but I'm just saying for the most part, okay, it's a territory that the enemy really can't thrive in. Okay, so people, if they're not going to engage in it, they don't even want to be there usually. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, and so we need to look at that. Am I creating an environment where God can inhabit it, or am I creating an environment where the devil can inhabit it? Now, I know that we, you know, that's really uncomfortable, like, can the devil inhabit? Well, listen, if all you can hear are lies, if all you feel is guilt, if all you feel is fear, if all you feel is unworthiness, if you're feeling depression, oppression, if you're feeling negativity, 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 something's not right. And I, like I said, I've gone through seasons where I've been under attack, and usually it's my sense of worth, it's my calling, it's my marriage, it's my parenting. It's strategic. It's strategic. And you know what? For a minute, if I can start to actually speak the very words the enemy is saying to me. And all of a sudden, I start feeling myself go down. Do you know what I'm saying? I start feeling myself go down. And that is like get up and fight mentality. Get up and fight. Get up and fight. Come against it. Do whatever I can on my end. And then God will do his part. God will always meet us. But we're going to still have to do our part. Does that make sense? Okay. So I encourage you to, when you press out, press through opposition, you want to listen to the messages and take note of them. Let me tell you what, you'll hear repetitive and constant messages when you start taking note of them. This is good. If you're really under attack, it's good, because what you're going to start to see is you're going to start to see there's probably a strategy behind that. Now, do I want to spook you out and make you like freak out that the devil's behind everything? You know, sometimes people are just people, okay? But if it is spiritual, if it is, if it's heavy, heavy spiritual attack, usually there's a lot of opposition, a lot of oppression attached to that. There will be something strategic going on underneath. And when you can start to capture that message in the moment, you can start to overcome that with the truth. Okay. Now, if you're like, I have no fight, I can't do it, I can't do it, there is a time and a season where then you reach out and you ask for help. And that's where someone like me or someone like our counselors can come alongside people and walk with them to overcome that. Okay. But there's always a level of participation on everybody's end. The counselor can't do it for them. I can pray for you, but I can't engage in your spiritual warfare. Okay, I can't recreate how your environment looks for God to inhabit your life. That part I can't do. Okay, but sometimes we do need people to pray over us. Okay, let's go to the next point. And you have more words than I'm going to have time to go through. Command demonic influence to leave. Does that freak you out? I hope not. There's a song, and I don't think I have it on this iPad, and I don't think we have time to listen to it anyway. It just goes through. It's like, spirit of fear, in Jesus' name, we command you to leave. Do you guys, you know, our God reigns. You guys, I'm not going to sing it because I would scare you off. But have you ever, do you have any, does anyone know of that song? Anyone heard of it before? Okay. It's very simple and I love it. And I'll have to dig it up for you. Maybe I'll pop it in the email that I send out, because I'm going to send you out a holiday email. I'll just pop it right in there and give that to you. So that's a tool that you can use when you're like, this is kind of awkward and weird. How do I do this in the spiritual realm? Well, just bolt the song out if you have nothing else to do, okay? Because this is what we want to do. There's two facets to healing. One of the things we're doing in the workshop is we're dealing with the areas of the soul that have been damaged. Where darkness, where denial, where sin, where woundedness, where hurts have all caused our soul to be affected. It's kind of like, I know this is a weird, there's an author that uses this analogy, so I'm going to steal it for a minute here. It's kind of like whatever garbage that we have in our soul, whatever darkness, and some of our garbage is not just sinful moral behavior. I'm talking about people imputing stuff on us as well. Okay, it's not just choices we make, it's choices other people make as well. Whatever is still there, though, that hasn't been dealt with, it's kind of like the relationship that a rat has with garbage. Okay, garbage, wherever there's garbage, the rat wants to feed on it. The enemy has a place he can come and he can mess with us. We're in the areas of our life that are sabotaged and broken. It's like he's got rightful legal rights there. And so if we just start to pray, and you know, you hear the people that are just like, you know, oh, I just got mad at my life, you know, and they're just like praying these radical prayers, and you're like, they're weird. And maybe you haven't heard them. I've heard them. And I'm like, you sound kind of weird and kind of spooky. Well, listen, because first of all, that's only part of what needs to be done. So actually commanding any demonic spirits, anything of that nature to leave is an important part of it, but you also need to find where they've been given access in the first place. And that's really what we do in the workshop process, is we just do a cleansing. We just seek to do cleansing, okay? And the more and more and more cleansing you get, the more grace conquers, the more forgiveness is activated, the more we learn to put these principles, the less and less and less influence that the enemy can even have on us. We don't even buy into his lies anymore. Do you understand what I mean? So there's a link between the two. So when I say, you know, and then when you're standing in grace, when you're dealing with your stuff, even when you don't have it all processed out, you can just simply say when you feel, and I'm not saying every single thing is demonically oriented. I don't want to turn crazy, okay? I'm not saying that. But when you suspect it, or someone's coming at you and you know that they have influences in their life, it's obvious that they have influence, they come at you, don't say it to them. I know Jesus did that to Peter, but don't say it to them. You know, Jesus said, you know, get behind me, Satan. If you say get behind me, Satan, to your spouse, you know, you're in for it. Okay. Don't do it. But you know, what you want to do is understand when you feel that coming against you, that you have authority in Jesus to just say, spirit of fear, in Jesus' name, I command you to leave. Done. Spirit of doubt, in Jesus' name, I command you to leave. Now, if you don't get to the driving factors of where that doubt has been given a home, it's like the rats in the garbage. It'll just keep coming back, right? That's why inner healing is really an important function in the church, that people, you know, let's say I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, the old has passed away, I'm perfect, and they're living, and it doesn't match. Because a lot of times that deeper work, it's like we've been covered once and all by grace, but that deeper work still kind of requires, it's called sanctification. That's what the Bible word, transformation, sanctification, all that really is taking darkness and replacing it with light, which is removing a lie and replacing it with truth. It's not really that far-fetched, or, you know, it's very basic, okay? You guys get that? Really. So here, are you getting equipped? Do you get what I'm saying? You got God, you got yourself, you're asking for the presence, you're being covered in grace. What was the next one? Okay. You are going to put your fight on in the spiritual battle. And then you have the authority to command demonic influences to leave in Jesus' name. Okay. You ready for the next one? Okay. So what happens when it still doesn't come together the way that we need it to come together? The Bible calls this testing, calls it testing. And, you know, your faith gets tested in this lifetime, and it's supposed to get tested, because faith is like a muscle. If it doesn't get tested, if it doesn't get placed into situations where it has to build and build and build, it won't ever grow. And so part of the test to the victory that we want to go through is you're going through different things, and you're like, I can't tell you how many people say, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and he didn't answer me. It's just a done deal. Are you kidding me? Keep praying. That's what the Bible says. Keep asking. It actually says that there's a Bible story that talks about a woman, and they weren't even talking about someone asking God. She was talking about this demanding woman that kept going to the judge and just pleading her case and just kept asking and begging and begging and begging. And finally he's like, all right, I'm sick of you begging. Fine. Have your way. Actually, God invites us into that level of begging with him. But faith is going to have to be what seals us from one reality to another. The reality of where I am versus the reality of where I want to be, okay? And faith is something that we each have to work out individually. I did tell you at one point that I really believe that our biggest enemies are disbelief and fear. Those are the two that I see knock people out more than any other ones, okay? The next one is allow surrender to refine. The refining fires, like the goldsmith, is that what they're called? Okay. One of the things that they do in the refining process is they turn the heat up, and as they turn the heat up, right, all the imperfections and impurities are brought to a surface level, and that temperature, that heat, actually, and that's why the Bible refers to that. It gives us that as an illustration to how God works. When we start praying, especially when you're praying over the needs of someone else, you're holding out for someone else to change. You need God to do something. You're interceding in someone else's life. It's not just your own. It's them too. And you're looking for a specific outcome. You want them to be like this. You want them to be like this. You need them to be like this. whatever it is. They're in bondage, they're in sin, they're in disobedience to God, whatever it might be. One of the things that happens as we continue to beseech God in prayer is he will redefine the way that we see things. He will actually let the act of surrender, when we start giving things to him, a lot of times, I don't know about anyone else, but I didn't know any better. I barked orders to God. And then I got mad when he didn't answer me. I'm like, I asked you to do this. Why didn't you do it? Except that, you know, we can ask for what we want. And I know, I remember, I'm telling my kids, they think I'm nuts. I said, I used to ask for brownies all the time. And God would never put brownies under my bed. And it was like, what kind of loving father? He said he loved me. He said I could ask him for what I want. Why didn't he give me brownies when I wanted them? Okay. I mean, that's a very childlike, strategy. We know that God doesn't typically work that way. Okay. So when he says we can ask for what we want, do you know what I really believe? And he'll answer it for you. You know what I really believe that is? That as we seek him through this process, he will start to change our hearts in such a way where our desires and his desires will begin to align. And then at that point, you start praying out the plans and purposes of God. I know some of you might be like, man, that's too deep. That is a journey. But if you allow him to, that will be. I carry burdens now. I don't mean to say I'm just so carry burdens. You know, I don't mean it like that. But I feel people's burdens. I hold their burdens. I don't hold them codependently. I don't go crazy over them like I need to fix it personally, although sometimes I might offer something to them. And it won't be every single person necessarily in a given situation. But I feel burdens of people. And I've learned that that's part of my calling now as a member in the body of Christ to be a burden bearer. And what do I do with that burden? I pray in agreement with God. And that's all I need to do. I just pray in agreement with him. Okay? That's one of the things that will happen as you surrender more and more. You'll come into agreement, and then your prayers are very powerful and very effective. Okay? You will see answered prayers as you learn to surrender and let God maneuver your heart in such a way where you and him line up now. Did you ever feel like you were fist fighting with God? Okay? Like you're like in this battle, you know, you're trying to get it, and he's over here, and you're like, you know, and then surrender brings this sweet peace. It's the peace of release. It's the peace of, I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to let you do what you need to do. And that's the battle. I believe, you know, especially people dealing with very difficult relationships, addictions, that sort of thing, that is always the battle, is the battle of surrender. That goes side by side with point 9, which is receive what he gives and thank him. You know what? Sometimes when we begin this journey, we want a specific outcome. A lot of times he might give us that specific outcome, but sometimes what he gives us wasn't even what we knew we needed. We go in, I can't tell you how many of our family members enter into program knowing that this person needs help. And as they go through the processes and they begin to engage, they'll say, you know what? There was a gift for me to be had. I thought so-and-so had all the problems. Lo and behold, I needed to be healed. And so the gift isn't just necessarily the outcome of that person. The gift is receiving what God wanted to give to them in the moment. And those are extraordinary gifts. Those are like bonus gifts. We have to be mindful to them. Because if all we can see is what we really wanted in the first place, and that's all we can see, we will feel entitled and we will feel angry and bitter when God doesn't come through. There's so much to be gained with the processes of God. He is so good. He's so big. Our God is so big that as we engage with him, okay, as we engage with him in process like this, he will give, for sure he will give, even if the outcome that we originally prayed for isn't necessarily the outcome that he aligns us. He will give us other gifts. And one of the things I want to encourage you in your journey is to always thank him when he does that. Remember the 10 leopards? One came back to say thank you. The other nine just got the most radical gift of a life. They were healed from leprosy. What did they do with that gift? They just went on with life as though God never had anything to do with it. Only one came back. Even if you get the gift, if you don't remember how that gift was brought, okay, you start to set a pattern where the enemy can come right back in, okay, and set up shop. All right. And then this is the last one, and then we're going to maybe take a break and go into prayer. Use answered prayers as trophies. I want you to think of what God wants to do in your life as a trophy case, and that he wants to display his answers to you and his faithfulness to you. And that trophy case is not just for you. It's for you. It's to build your faith. It's also a reminder of when you come into future attacks that he is capable and he is worthy. But that trophy case is also meant to be a showpiece to the people around you. What is going on in her life? What is going on in his life? Do you know what else that trophy is meant to do? Do you know what God delights in doing? You're going to think I'm nuts, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You know, one of the greatest victories that you can have is when he can hold up a trophy of grace. You, right in his arms, hold up a trophy and put it right in the devil's face. Okay? There is nothing better than being able to beseech victory, not just here in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. You did not win. My God conquered. You know what it does? It empowers you. It empowers. We know sports teams, they get all hyped up and, you know, invigorated with win after win after win after win. Well, it's kind of like that. It edifies your faith, okay? And that's why God does want that display. I'm not saying that that's his purposes, and I don't mean display in the sense of you're in display. I mean his grace is in display. He likes to show off, believe it or not. So would you guys like a break before we go into prayer? We're going to pray for probably about 20 minutes. Do you want to just go? You want a break? You want a break? Okay. Go ahead and cut the recording, and we'll record it again. Okay.